So, can you give me some idea who you are, Lynn, and your interest in public housing?
Sure. I'm a public housing tenant, have been for 23, 4 years. I first lived in Richmond High Rise Estate.
And how did you get to be a public housing tenant?
I moved from Ballarat,
Yeah.
where I was born and raised, and I decided to move. I had a small child and I was a single mother. And I applied, and within 2 weeks I had a unit there, and it was beautiful. It was on the 10th floor. I had a million-dollar view of the city, and I actually loved living there. It was a great community. I met lots of friends that I still have now. But in 2009, things got a bit not livable for us.
Well, you used to work on resident problems, didn't you? You
Oh,
were a
yes.
tenant organiser, really.
I sort of managed the tenant group for a time. Got to know the department and the managers, who were all wonderful people, and we had a great community. The tenant group used to hold public meetings where we'd have over 100 residents turn up each time. They were very interested in what was happening on the estate, and it was great. But I happened to move to Port Melbourne, but I've still kept in close contact with Richmond, people from Richmond.
Now, what happened in Richmond was that you became too hot to handle, wasn't it?
It was a bit like that, yes, and I had my life threatened, so the department moved me
Okay, all
quite
right.
quickly, which was very kind of them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's unusual because everything about your story is that you get moved quickly. Where did quickly go from the public housing?
Things have changed very much. I don't understand, but I was put in an emergency accommodation for the weekend when the incident happened, all paid for by the government, which is very strange because nowadays I don't think they'd do it.
So what year would have that been?
That was 2009.
Yeah, okay. And entering this conversation is John. So, John, what's your experience of public housing?
Oh, gosh. Never thought I'd be in it. Always thought it was a great idea. Own my own property, car accident, TAC, business loss, couldn't work, house lost, private rental again, and found myself without anywhere to live. So, a bit of a shock. I never thought I'd be in that situation, but when you've been physically sort of damaged and you get to a certain age. So I found myself at Park Towers, October 06.
Right, okay. Now, so we're talking, things are going along, bubbling along. Both of you have found sanctuary, effectively. Yeah, because someone was telling me who had worked in the one of, in some of these towers. This announcement about getting rid of the towers was the question. Really, was what are they going to replace them with? But when I went to the meeting on at down in Collingwood, people were saying that they actually like their flats. And they'd like to keep them.
I
And
love
if,
my flat.
yeah, and if there was going to be upgrades, that would be cheaper and they wouldn't all be dislocated and the green space would be preserved. But the government's plans are quite clearly directed towards private developers.
Oh, gosh, because they really want to get rid of that a certain class of people in the area. So, social cleansing is a real thing, and the so-called gentrification of inner city areas. Well, it's already happened in Sydney. All the public housing in Sydney has gone, has been sold off. And of course, they know that all those elderly people who have grown up there, whose families have grown up there, they're all traditional working class areas. And of course, they'll be thrown out in the outer suburbs and they'll just die quicker. Because if you just take people out of their environment where all their friends are and they're not, they die. That's what happens. In our area, I'm afraid it's not just social cleansing, but it's also ethnic cleansing. Because my experience running our organisation from the very beginning was that local Albert Park, South Melbourne, Auskick, they did not want our kids to participate with their kids. Middle Park, when there was Middle Park Primary and Port Melbourne Primary only, you could Google it and see where your
The
child
boundaries
could
are,
go. And the
yeah.
boundaries went literally the streets around our building and the streets around other public housing and Dorcas Street. So those kids weren't allowed to go to Middle Park Primary.
So where did they go?
They all went to either Port Melbourne or there was a Catholic primary school, which is growing now.
That's sort of different to Richmond. The tenant group forged an alliance with the Richmond Football Club, and the club came to the estate every week, played with the kids for a couple of hours, and built a really great rapport. And that ended up with the football club providing buses, and the kids would go to the football every Saturday when Richmond were playing at home, which was wonderful. So in Richmond's case, I don't think it's ethnic cleansing. I wouldn't call it that. But I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Mm. But
what you're saying is that there are social pressures that influence outcomes when it comes to political power, I presume. I mean, you know, like there must have been some influence there amongst the powerful parents and the political will around those boundaries.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a traditional working class area.
And that's been thoroughly gentrified.
Yeah. And you say gentrified, but these people really don't behave like gentry at all. There's no blesh, no bleach. You know, and also too, we have a lot of black kids, they come from Muslim families, and they're particularly unwanted. Multi-bedroom properties have been sold off in the area, which would preclude a lot of black families, because they tend to have large families. And people say to me, oh, you know, gosh, you know, they have so many children. And I said, yes, it was like when I was a kid, Catholics had so many children, you know.
place that people with under siege generally feel that if they have, I mean, there's lots of studies about this, you know, if these people have come from war-torn countries.
Exactly. Like in Richmond, it had a large population of Vietnamese people when I lived there. And they were petrified if police came by they were scared of the department. They were scared with whatever they said, they'd get kicked out. And that wasn't true at all. But there are many African families in Richmond. And
up here too.
Yeah. And they're all welcomed very well.
Mm. They're the best tenants, I'm afraid. I mean, I hate to be, it's almost being, I'm not trying to be sort of like an inverted racist, but they really are. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't swear. Their kids are beautifully turned out. Dads go to work, dads pick their kids up from school. I mean, they're always a joy, you know, to chat to. They're here for the circumstances of, as you said, war. A lot of them are highly educated people who are driving taxis here.
It was quite clear to me that the government, and it's bipartisan, it's not just Labor, it's the Liberals as well.
Oh, yes.
Because it's been going on for so long. A lot of the public housing places were being... even though there was a lot of people on the list, and when you said when you needed it, you immediately, you know, in 2 weeks you got a place when you were coming up from the country. But what they're doing is not filling the empty flats. That's what I've been noticing. They weren't filling the empty flats.
No, they had a plan. We have loads of empty flats, yeah, and they were emptying them out because they were intending to have park towers demolished first. So that was going to be their sort of, big boom, level it, you know. They're repairing all the leaks now. The leaks that have been going on for 7 years because of the upgrade 12 years ago were so shoddy that we had sewage leaks and water leaks and black mould, and that was attracting rats, and they just didn't care. And now they're actually fixing it, you know, and putting in new bathrooms. Look, the bottom line is there's a housing crisis. And so where are you going to put the people in the meantime? The public housing or Department of Housing, or whatever you want to call it now, Homes Vic, has been in the private housing market for, well over 10 years. Yeah. They rent private properties of private landlords on a two-year lease arrangement where they do... They renovate them, they'll put in disabled bathrooms, they'll do all the repairs through the department, and they just pay.
And this is all money rent. To a private landlord.
And they love it.
Of course they love it.
They love it. And because everything is taken care of. And
all public money.
Yes. And also it means you've got this gorilla in the market called, you know, Housing Victoria or Homes Victoria, who is pushing up private rents even more because they've been selling off public housing left, right and centre under both governments. Both governments have used, since Kennett, have used the public housing as a money box. It's somewhere you go to when you need money and you can rip out great amounts of money. You can
selling off properties.
Oh, you can sell off single properties or I say, a flat in a block or a house in a street, you know, and no one knows. Selling off total blocks of flats is much harder and more public. But yes, of course. I mean, look, Brax did it in 07 with the Commonwealth Games. He ripped every cent out of the public housing department and some out of DHHS. So they had no budget. They had no budget for repairs. They didn't have any money
for anything.
So we could have a sports event.
I just wanted to speak on that. In around 2001... I was a member of the VPTA, the Victorian Public Tenants Association, and they were talking about the idea of social housing. And a group that I was in then were a bit wary of this, and it's come true. It's come to fruition now because the government stopped the money pile for public housing. They didn't repair anything. They've let it run down to shocking standards.
Correct.
But they've given money to social housing that was meant to fund itself, you know, regenerate its own income. But for 23 years, they've given money to housing associations, and I think it's wrong because many of them, example housing choices, if you look them up, they've got billions of dollars worth of assets. So who's making the money?
Mm.
And that should have been public housing money that went to those housing associations. And then by then... them being the landlord, they can charge 30% of the income. They can keep your rent assistance. It's just all wrong. And it's unaffordable. It's not like public housing. And I just want to...
It's unstoppable because the roof, in terms of the cost.
I'm actually gobsmacked by the thought of 44 towers. And what do they mean by towers? To me, a tower is a 20-storey building. So we have to define... where's the 44? There aren't 44 huge towers. Do they mean walk-up estates? What do they mean? And where is this 10,000 people going to be dispersed? Is it 10,000? No one comes up with an exact figure. But I think it's important that the community and the public know that I think it's far more than 10,000 people. There's 4,000 alone at Richmond.
Down in Collingwood, they were talking about them getting rid of 10,000 people and putting 30,000 people on the existing place.
10 years ago, a walk-up estate on Elizabeth Street, Richmond, was demolished. Now, those people were dispersed, rehoused, told that they'd be able to come back and, you know, you'll be back in your community. That was in about 2007-08. In 2010, Richard Wynne stood on the block and said, we're going to build these fancy, beautiful apartments. It's on YouTube. If anyone wants to look, just look up Richard Wynne. That land has sat vacant until this year. So he announced it in 2010. So why wasn't it built? Those people will never, ever return to their community because it's 10 years.
Martin Foley did the same thing in Glen Iris, promised the whole community, mainly elderly people, that they would be returning. They'd levelled the entire estate, and they built a completely it went to private developers. Those people never went back. He lied to them, and I know
they
someone
lie that, all the time.
Yeah, well, it's a toxic, dishonest, deceitful, and often corrupt department. I mean, health has been scratching and screaming to get out of DHHS. Then they changed the name after that, after surrounding buildings and imprisoning people. You know, the Department of Family Fairness and Housing, which is it's so Orwellian. I mean, Orwell would just be chuckling. I mean, I don't know if someone did it on purpose. And they didn't. They may as well call it the Department of Family Fairness, Plenty, Love, and Housing.
Yeah, but it's a bit like
They don't care about families. There's no fairness
in it at all.
No.
Yeah, but also HR. They don't call it that anymore. They call it something other in culture. You know, like in corporations.
Well, they used to call us residents and they called us tenants. Now they call us renters. But within the department, the walls of the department, they call us end users, which is rather like someone, you know, I think of an end user as someone who uses a public lavatory, you know. And so the disdain. I mean, you know, everything would work so well if as long as they didn't have tenants. And they can't have tenants like Lynn and me, who are, you know, we're uppity, you know. I mean, God forbid.
But we speak up.
Well, you know, as far as they're concerned, you know, I mean, when those, you know, $9 million was committed to the Richmond and somebody was meant to be brought in and create, you know, community and increase capacity. Now, we were doing so well on our own, but you see, the department can't have a volunteer organisation getting its own grants, doing its own events, applying for its own equipment. They don't want that. They want people with their hands out.
So no self-empowerment.
They've taken the power right away from public tenants, so they don't have a voice. So they're not told anything. They're just mushrooms.
Mm.
And if you want to get funding, well, I applied for funding because I'm helping the group at Richmond. I'm a member, but I'm helping them grow the tenant organisation again. But I was told by the department that funding's not available because of COVID. So we weren't allowed to apply for funding. So we've kept running, but no money or anything. Not that
so
we need
they, Well, we had funding
So with
blocked.
COVID, you could have actually improved people's internet access and had Zoom parties or something.
Yeah, there would. But can I just say something? I know we're getting to the end. I think the department should stop with the social affordable bulldust names for housing. It's either public or it's not. Public or private.
I would agree with that.
It's too confusing. Affordable housing means what?
Well,
affordable
actually,
to who?
Hmm.
And what, you know, I could be earning $100,000 a year and pay rent accordingly, and that's affordable for me, but it might, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.